Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Tier 1 Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TSLV and on the OTCQB under the symbol TSLVF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Peter Dembicki, also the Vice President of Exploration, Dave Smithson. Now, guys, we are following up on a news release that came out November 4th. It is two drill holes, assay results released from the Curry-Bia project. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Tier 1 Silver is focused mostly in southern Peru, trying to make some silver and gold discoveries, high grade. Also, you're really just trying to get an understanding too of what is possible at some of these projects. And as I mentioned, we are going to be focusing at the Curry-Bia project. Now, this total drill program, about 5,000 meters planned. And in that November 4th news release, we saw holes 2 and 3 released. Let's focus on hole 3 here because this is a hole that hit some silver mineralization. Headline numbers being 4 meters of 211 grams per ton silver equivalent within a broader interval of 11 meters of right around 85 grams per ton silver equivalent. Dave, please start us off with a general takeaway from hole 3 here, what it's telling you about the potential of this Curry-Bia project, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. We're on hole 11 right now, actually. So these are the very first holes, the maiden drill holes into the project. We started off with no subsurface information. We've gone from a trenching to a rock chip sampling to mapping. We've recently employed spectral work to try and better understand the structural regime. But yeah, these are the maiden holes, and we saw in our geophysical survey that there were large chargeability features at depth below the surface. And those first three holes tested those chargeability features. And, you know, typically the mineralization effect is seen in chargeability. And what it maps is disseminated metal particles in the ground in the form of a mineral called pyrite, which is an iron sulfide mineral. And so typically veins come with those metal particles in the earth. And so we can often see them using an induced polarization methodology. It's basically injecting electricity into the ground, and it shows us if there's metal particles down there. So the first three holes were testing a very large chargeability feature, and we did a heap of learning from those first holes. We drilled a type of alteration, which is a distal and quite a bit cooler style of alteration, which is not associated with primary veins. And these are in a style called prepolytic alteration. And at Curry-Bia, which is unusual, and it's not typical, but it's still very, very interesting and very cool nonetheless. The prepolytic alteration, the cooler distal alteration, comes with very strong pyrite dissemination, it turns out. So that was a big piece of learning from those first holes. But the really big, good takeaway from those holes is that we still hit structures. We still hit veins down there that are in the footwall to one of the structures that we've subsequently drilled, which we call the Madre Corridor. And it actually sits adjacent to the chargeability feature or on the gradient to the chargeability feature. So it's given us two pieces of information. It's telling us that the distal alteration is very strong and the system is very strong, and we saw that in the first holes. It's also shown us that the footwall can contain, high-grade silver over a few meters. So there are parallel structures to the principal feeder structure, which we've now trenched and mapped out in the field and also through spectral. And we've drilled across the structure as well. So we've drilled across, instead of drilling straight into the heart of the chargeability features, we've learned that we need to reorient the drill holes towards the gradients to those chargeability features. And in doing so, we've seen veins. We've seen veins at that gradient, and they have sulfide on them. So very early days, we're really encouraged to see the strength of system down there, albeit in the cooler alteration. And we're really encouraged to see that footwall structures to the primary to the primary feeder veins are also mineralized. And that fits together really nicely with what we see on surface. We see widespread veins, and in our grabs and in our trenches, there are veins literally everywhere over 3 by 1 kilometers on surface. And, you know, those early drill holes are reflecting that. We're seeing multiple structures in the footwall to the primary corridors, which give us really a lot of hope that when we slice through a meaty section of the principal structure, that it could be good. So I'm going to fast forward time a little bit. We're up to hole 11, but once we realized that phenomenon was occurring, that the chargeability was mapping not mineralization in the primary veins, but the alteration adjacent to veins, we reoriented and we drilled hole 8, which had really good textural indications that it could be really interesting. Of course, we can't predict any grades. We don't know if they've got precious or base metal mineralization that's economic in them, but we have cut through veins that that have got really nice epithermal textures in them. They're banded and they have the best sulfide we've seen to date. As we were doing that drilling, as those holes were going through those structures, we were also instigating a satellite spectral study. And there's a lot of minerals. The minerals, Corey, are absolutely key to targeting. They're key to understanding where the upside is. It's key to understanding where the principal corridors are. The idea of doing the spectral work, and we're talking about satellites that can collect information in the electromagnetic spectrum, and that is light reflecting off the ground, and we can actually extract minerals from that spectral information, and that tells us about where the primary corridors are. And as we were drilling across that gradient for the first time after that learning from hole one to three, we also saw in the spectral information that was the primary corridor for in the spectral, and it was leading us back to the volcanic center in the middle of the property, in the middle of all the alteration, in the middle of all the high grade on surface. There's a feature called the diatreme, and diatremes are the paleovolcanic necks. These are the eruptive centers of paleovolcanoes, and the mineralization in these systems is associated with volcanic and magmatic activity. So those three components sort of came together, and they've all come together at a really good time in the drill program, and it's helping us direct the subsequent holes. And just like it did in the trenching sort of got better as we went on and we learnt, and the drilling seems to be taking a similar path. We started off learning that the chargeability features are propylitic, it's strong, the system's there, it's associated with sulfide. It told us that we need to reorient to the gradients. The gradients have veins on them, and they're mapping in the satellite imagery as well, and it's taking us back to the center of the volcanic and magmatic system. So really good learnings early, and we think we're moving in a good direction.
Okay, Dave, well, let's quickly just then summarize in terms of the drilling that has been ongoing here after these results and after you did reorient the drills. You mentioned that the sampling got better, and drilling, you're expecting those results to even get better. What are you looking for? Is it higher grades in some of these veins? Is it wider intercepts? What could investors expect as you now get a better handle on where the drill is turning and what you're targeting?
Well, it's all about hitting veins, Corey. The mineralization is coming with veins. So our job is to hit veins. And those veins are controlled by structures. And they're also controlled by the host rocks that they're in. But we are seeing veins, and that's what we have to do. We have to cut veins. And earlier on, we in holes 1 to 3, we didn't see a lot of veins. We saw them there. And like you mentioned, there are 1 meter intercepts of over 100. There's a 4 meter wide vein, which we also drilled in hole 1, which had a meter of over 100 silver on it. But we are seeing like four meters of 211 silver EQ. So, you know, again, the goal is to hit veins. And if we're not hitting veins, then we're not in the game. And as we reoriented the drills, we saw better veining. We saw better developed veins. Texturally, they look nicer. We look for textures like banding in the veins. That shows us that there's multiple fluid events. We saw banding in the veins. There's good sulfide. In all the structures that we've cut so far, the mother on hole 8 particularly looked the nicest. And across the property, we have identified a number of major feeder zones. We have five in total. The latest trenches that we released recently, we saw up to 20 meters almost 300 silver on some of these structures. And there's brand new structures out there that we won't get to test on this round of drilling. We'll have to wait until next year when we come back after the rain season. But the goal of this year, Corey, is to drill across all of those structures, see which one's got the best. There's lots of grade on surface. There's lots of structures on surface. But which are the ones that persist the depth? Which are the ones that have got the best veining on them? The only way to find that out is to try and define the corridors on surface through mapping, through sampling, through trenching, through things like spectral studies that we've just performed. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the drill bit and drilling across the structures and seeing if they've got veins or not. So as we've like moved through the project, our vectoring's gotten better. Our understanding's gotten better. We understand our geophysics much better. And we're seeing better veining in subsequent holes. So we really feel like we're on the right track.
All right, Peter, let's get you in here and talk a little bit about that further target generation. Dave mentioned a little bit about that, but this hyperspectral study in terms of further defining these targets, how quickly is that going to be done and how much is that going to guide the future drilling?
Yeah, thanks. Well, gosh, Dave's done such a good job in those previous comments. There's much left for me to go after here. You know, the spectral analysis is just another key for us to hone in on our targets. And it also provided us with, you know, confirmation on a lot of the ideas and the theories that we were thinking. And, you know, much like the first three holes have done the same thing. Again, we've taken a concept of what we've seen through mapping, through geophysics, through surface work, our trenches that came back, our rock samples that have come back, the IP, the magnetic surveys that we've ran. You know, all these things are a process of elimination and guiding us. So again, the spectral analysis is just one more part of this that further eliminates areas where we don't want to go and test and areas that we really want to define in. And again, previously we've announced that we found these five main feeder structures on our main curve by a property that is surrounded by our drill permit. We have four of them in there. The fifth one is the Cambaya feeders, which are just to the north. And we are amending our drill permit to allow us to grab that and attack it in the spring. So now we have these feeders to go after. We want to find the biggest intercepts on surface with these trenches and attack them underground with these drill holes. And the spectral analysis just allows us to hone that in and really target as to where we see the modular feeder is certainly the focus at this point of the direction where it's heading. So it allowed us to say, okay, maybe this was heading west and slightly to the north. And now we know it's direct north-south. It's going right under our diatrium dome complex, of which we're drilling as we speak right now. And so it just defines everything for us. And it makes Dave's, you know, job a little bit easier, a lot easier when he's picking his holes and where to test.
Okay. Final question then for you, Peter, in terms of what comes next? Drill results, what can people expect?
Yeah, so we can expect a ton as we've released three. Dave's currently on hole number 11 out there. We want to see if we can sneak in 15 holes before mid-December. We do have to take a pause for rainy season. You know, I joke with Dave a lot. I think we saw more rain here in Vancouver last night than Dave's seen on the project in a year and a half. But they do have this desert environment where if there are flash floods, it puts a lot of workers in danger. So there is a pause mid-December through to the end of March where we're going to scale back and there's no drilling going on. But this really gives us an opportunity to download all of this information, really take it in, allows Dave to take and his team to take a breath, because we have certainly put a lot of pressure on ourselves to deliver this discovery in short order. And so to give him the time to download all the data, everything that we've done to date, and allow him to formulate a plan for the spring for our second phase when we go after Cambaya and other further targets at Curabaya and really prove this thing out. So we're going to have, I believe, 17 trenches still to come from Hurricane, our second kind of flagship project up near Cusco. We have 15 more trenches to come from Curubaya, and we'll have holes 4 through 15 to come when they come. Again, the labs are backed up. This is no surprise to anybody in the industry or anyone following. So we just have to receive them when we receive them, and get that out to the public as best we can and as soon as we can, because they deserve to know if it's all working or not. So it is a super exciting time. It's been just a flash of activity, what seems like, since we listed in June, and here we are. It's we've learned a ton, and I really think we're at this incredible inflection point. You know, I come from the capital markets, so I'm always looking to see market comparisons. You know, where are we? Who's a true comp? The list gets incredibly short when I look at the fact that Curubaya is virgin territory. It's never been drilled before. So we have no starting point as to where to test this thing out and where to start. We have no head start in that standpoint. We're the first ones to ever drill it. And so we're learning an incredible amount, but yet we still have these expectations to deliver something really fast to shareholders. So it's hard to find a pure comp out there. I do believe we are top tier in Latin America, especially in Peru, going after this precious metals asset. So it's an exciting time, because everybody knows what happens in the public markets when you hit that massive intercept. So, you know, we're waiting and we're following this thing along meter by meter. Dave is living, breathing it, and it's a really exciting time.
Excellent. Guys, thank you for this update. I will post a link below this interview to that news release so everyone can go through it again, follow along as we discuss it, and please email me any questions you have for the team over at Tier 1 Silver. My email address is fleck@kereport.com. Peter, Dave, thanks again for the update, and please keep in touch on the back of some more news.
Thanks, Corey.